reach my arms out to soak it all in.
Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. We will keep you posted on everything that's happening weather-related. We had some pretty crazy weather whipping through the area earlier, and it's leaving remnants of craziness as well, some rain and some high winds and things like that. So we'll keep you posted if there's anything happening. That's our number one priority, is to keep you guys informed. But we also are here to entertain, and as part of that, we are bringing in the band Man Fighting Bear. All three members of the band are here, and they've got a show tomorrow, Friday the 13th. Ooh, scary. At the Elbow Room at 2871 North Lincoln. It's a 21-over show. Begins at 8. It's only 10 bucks to get in. ManFightingBear.com is the website, although we have a link at our Facebook page, which makes it easy for everybody. And let us welcome the gentleman to the studio. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Okay, let's go right down the line here. You guys can introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
Sure. I'm Eric Fabrilius. I sing and play bass guitar.
Okay.
I'm Chris Beach. I play drums and percussion. And anything else they tell me to do.
Okay.
And I'm Bill Beach, and I'm the keyboard player.
All right. I noticed that the last two members of this band have the same last name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I also noticed that you guys are a little bit different in age.
Yes. We are.
Bill, you're Chris's dad.
You're my son.
Oh, did we just did we Maury Povich you? Oh, is that what we just did?
Is it sweeps?
Yes.
Is it sweeps?
Is it sweep? It's sweep weeks. Wait till we hook you up to the lie detector.
Oh man,
that's going to be beautiful.
yes, well, Chris is my son.
All right. Well, Bill and Chris and Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys here. Now, you do not, Bill. You do not reside in Chicago.
No, I'm from Chicago, but I live in Hampton, Virginia, which is about 2.5 hours south of Washington, D.C.
How does that work out with the band? Do you guys do a lot of Skyping?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. A new technology that's out there called Jamlink, and it allows you to basically, Bill be in Virginia. We just did it for the first time a couple nights ago, and using internet connection, plug right into this little unit. They send it to you. I plug in my bass, put on a headset with a microphone, like a gamer headset. Bill's got his headset and his keyboard's plugged in.
Plugged right in.
And it's...
That's great.
There's almost no latency.
That's great.
Yeah,
What's it called again?
Jamlink.
Jamlink.
And the guy that owns it, really cool guy out of California, total techie guy. And
Absolutely revolutionary. I mean, seriously.
Yes.
I mean, because, you know, we've had Skype interviews before, and we've talked to people, and inevitably something gets screwed up, and there's a connection, and there's like a delay, which is crucial to not happen if you guys want to rehearse,
right?
You know, or jam. I mean,
right. And in the recording studio situation, it's the same thing. It's all the technology is getting to a point now, with recording wise, that there's almost no latency when you're playing a track back and recording to it. Okay, so
that's unbelievable.
It's the same with this.
Now, I'm holding Waiting, which is your latest. Is this your latest?
Yes, it is.
It's your latest CD. I'm holding that in my hand. Was any of this recorded with this process?
Not with a Jamlink. No.
Okay. Okay. No. Do you guys plan on maybe like recording your next CD with that regard, so you don't have to fly all over the place, Bill?
You know, I don't mind flying all over the place. I embrace technology, but I have my hesitations about doing an actual recording with it.
Yeah. Well, there's something about being in the studio too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can see it being, you know, helpful. I mean, immeasurably in terms of like getting you guys together to write songs and jam and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's we're really excited. We're doing actually a demo tomorrow at we have a studio, a practice room at Music Garage here in Chicago.
Yeah. And you're doing a demo of that?
We're doing a demo with the kid from California. He'll be in California, and we'll be there.
San Jose, California. We're doing it in here.
Is he this is open to the public? Is it open to the public?
Well, right now it's open to the tenants of the Music Garage.
Oh, the tenants of the Music Garage.
Right, because we'd like to be able to have everybody have this opportunity.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be there all the time.
All right, now, would you think about doing this again and streaming it so that people can see it online?
Sure.
I mean, that might be something, you know, to think about, because I mean, because this to me looks like something that a ton of musicians who live in different places really would love to embrace this technology.
And it's very reasonably priced.
Yeah,
very reasonably.
That's great.
And
that's
just really not cool. Until recently that the Bitstream is allowing. You know, the technology, the speed of internet is allowing this to happen, to be able to do this, to use this technology. And it's just, it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
It's like we're like kids. Every 2 minutes, we're just stopping and saying, oh my God, can you believe that we're actually doing this?
It's kind of amazing. I have a lot of musicians coming in to the studio, and I love doing it. I love talking music and stuff. And some are older, some are younger. And the difference Bill, I'm sure you can speak to this. The difference between not only the way that music is recorded, but the way that people get their music now is so vastly different than it was, say, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about this last week, people actually going to record stores and actually looking at the records, and you would go home and put it on, and you'd have to, God forbid, get up and flip it over. But you would look at the liner notes. I can't remember how many times I would just stare at Yes albums for like hours at a time and go, yeah, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
You remember your first album?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get to that later. Yes. No, that's I ask some standard questions to musicians every time. That's one of them. Okay. We'll get to that a little bit later on.
No, but you're right, though, about the difference in how you and I would listen to music versus younger people. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate that Chris and Eric are really current in terms of all the new technology, because I'm like,
I need help in that department, Bill. Like, I don't even know. I just got like Pandora. So that's how hip I am. That's how hip I am.
I don't have Pandora.
No, that's so okay. It's okay. You should have had it in 98, evidently. All right. Well, welcome you guys. Let's first, before we talk more, we're going to have to break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll hear a couple of songs from the new CD. How long have you guys been together? Well, you guys have been together your whole life.
I've been together as long as he's been around.
Right. Well, how long are you as a band?
As a band, I think we had our first jam in 2010.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds about right. We were getting together to play, actually, my dad's farewell party before he moved to Virginia. We thought, let's give it a go. You know, we've never really played together in the public. And we had such a fun time doing that. We were just ticked afterwards. It's like, great, we have this wonderful thing happening now, and now you have to move.
And now you got to move. Why'd you move?
I was working for a company in Washington, D.C., and so my wife and I moved out to D.C., and she's from the East Coast, so we eventually settled in the town, actually in the house that she grew up in.
Oh, that's cool. So, yeah. That's cool. All right, so since about 2010, you guys have been together. All right, I want to get more on this and what it's like, the father-son dynamic within the band. We got to talk about that and much more. The band is called Man Fighting Bear. We'll hear full-length songs from their new CD, Waiting, and they've got a gig tomorrow night, Friday, at the Elbow Room, and we'll talk more about that. Guys, hang on. We got to take a break for the news after this. Morning, everybody. Yeah. We are live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. That is Man Fighting Bear. Their latest CD is Waiting, and I have the members of Man Fighting Bear here live in studio. It's Eric Fragrilius.
Good, yeah.
Bill and Chris Beach. Why can't you have a last name like theirs? Coming from a guy whose last name is DiGilio. Okay. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Welcome back.
We're talking about how long you guys have been together as a band. Let's talk a little bit about the dynamic between father and son. Bill, you're in the band. You play keys and you backup sing. And and Chris, you are the drummer and you sing backup and stuff like that.
Yes.
How did that happen? What was music like growing up in the house? Let's talk to you, Chris. What was music like growing up in the house?
It was always on. I mean, my parents are both big music fans. My mom would love to remind my dad that she saw the Beatles twice.
Oh, man.
And right. How many times did you see the Beatles?
I forgot. Close your eyes and what do you see?
Yeah. Nothing. So it was always on. Everything was on. I mean, pop music, rock, classic rock, a lot of blues.
A lot of Motown.
I mean, that's really
Are you, how many brothers, sisters?
I have an older sister who's mm-hmm. 4 years older. And then my dad remarried, and now I have a younger sister who's 12.
Okay.
Yeah. And
she's a sax player.
She's a sax player, yeah.
She plays. She's 12 and she plays sax?
Yes. Yeah.
Is her name Lisa Simpson?
No. Yeah. She's. But, you know, she's just as bright.
Oh, that's good.
She makes, yeah, I feel really dumb around her. But, yeah, but my older sister and I, we were, you know, we shared everything, including our CDs and our tapes. And,
all right, since we're on this subject, one of the other questions that I always ask musicians sure. when mm-hmm. they're in is the almost famous question. I'm guessing that you've seen Almost Famous, the movie mm-hmm. Almost Famous.
Yes.
Okay. And in it, this kid basically plays the alter ego of Cameron Crowe in real life, who was a teenage writer for Rolling Stone and toured with bands like Zeppelin and wrote about them. Mm-hmm. In the movie, his older sister is played by Zooey Deschanel. And mm-hmm. at the beginning of the film, she leaves home because Frances McDormand, their mom, is driving her nuts. So she's old enough to get out. So she gets out. And when she leaves, she bestows her record collection onto her younger brother. And in this beautiful sequence, this kid is going through this record collection. And you can hear all the music that he is now being turned on to. It's Zeppelin and The Who and, you know, all of the classic rock bands. And he's going through them and looking through it. And I always ask musicians if they've ever had that moment. Now, not necessarily that your older sister actually gives you the albums, because I don't see that happening a lot in real life. Like, here, yeah. take all my albums. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. But the influence of an older sibling or mm-hmm. family members on you. Let's start with Eric. How did that happen? Did it happen to you?
It definitely happened. My sister, she's 5 years older, and she was right in the middle of 80s pop, Duran Duran, and everything. Her room was just plastered.
Yeah.
You know, teenage obsessed with just pictures of all those guys. And, I got to say it. We were talking Black Sabbath during the break. Mm. But, man, there's some stuff that Duran Duran's done.
Oh, I love Duran Duran. John Taylor's great,
amazing.
Man. Yeah.
Amazing.
I love that band. Yeah. I make no apologies. So you got turned on to the 80s stuff by
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
And now, your older sister, I know you just said that everybody played music in your family all the time. What about your older sister?
She's not a musician, but she has a great taste in music.
Okay.
And but she and I discovered music around the same time. So, like, we were obsessed with the Beatles to the point that my mom actually had to say, like, you guys got to stop. You can't watch A Hard Day's Night today because you've watched it every day.
And, well, that's good.
You know, been like, and that was around the time that the anthology documentary came out.
Sure.
So we watched that every day, too. But when she bestowed upon me her record collection, it was more or less she bestowed upon me her Napster account, because that's when she went to college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she gave me everything that you'd hear at a bar, basically. A lot of songs about drinking.
Yeah.
She was at college.
Well, she was going to college.
Yeah. So a lot of Fish CDs was in there, you know. But we still have our giant cases of CDs, and we'll flip through them together.
Yeah. All right. Bill, what about you? It's a different generation, but...
Different generation. I'm the oldest in our family.
Okay. Did you do that for your younger siblings?
I did that for younger siblings, but I inherited some great stuff from my dad. My dad is a piano player. He was a piano player before he passed away. And, you know, kind of a boogie-woogie barrel house piano player. But he loved, you know, Oscar Peterson and Bill Evans and so that kind of stuff. So I grew up listening to him play. He was really my first piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I got my music from him. And then I just passed it on to the kids. But I remember taking Christopher to see Deep Purple and Wishbone Ash. Mm-hmm. And he'd take me to see Weezer and the Decemberists. So we were trading that type of music.
That's very cool. That's very, very cool. I'm an only child, so I, you know, my parents are young. I mean, they were like, my dad, I believe, was like 23 when he had me, and my mom was like 21, I think. Mm-hmm. So they were young when they had me, and so music was playing around the house a lot. I just remember, this is a moment that I always remember, is my dad going, hey, come here for a second. He's like, I just here, listen to this. And he put the needle on the record, and he goes, this is called Cream.
Yeah.
And he played White Room, and my brain almost blew out of my ears. Absolutely. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I remember the most played album when I was a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, the most played album in my house was Zeppelin II. which I still consider my favorite.
The Brown Bomber.
I love that record. So that's really cool. All right, listen, let's hear a song so we can come back and talk a little bit more. Sure. Are we going to play Hitman first? Is that
Let's play Hitman.
Okay, cool. Tell us about the song.
Eric.
Oh, let's see. What can we tell you about Hitman? Hitman is basically, I took three people and characters that have done some pretty bad things publicly across the nation and kind of encapsulated that into a song. And from the perspective of a video game, what would you do to these people if they were in a video game?
Okay.
And so this is Hitman.
Okay. So this is it. This is Hitman from Man Fighting Bear. You can see them on Friday night at the Elbow Room. There you go. Hitman from Man Fighting Bear. And you guys are playing on Friday the 13th. Oh,
yes.
Oh, creepy. At Elbow Room. Have you guys played Elbow Room before?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great room, isn't it?
Wonderful room, yeah.
Yeah. Where else have you guys played?
Most recently, we were at the Cubby Bear. Our second CD. Well, our CD release party for our second CD was at the Cubby Bear. Mm-hmm. It was a private event. And that was really a nice event. I mean, in addition to being, you know, having a captive audience, we're all involved in fundraising. So what we did was we turned the event into a fundraiser. I had worked, after I had left the law school that I worked at, I went to work for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, and they have a foundation that raises money for families of fallen police officers.
Oh. There.
And they now have a campaign going on for bulletproof vests. So all of the mm-hmm. proceeds for the show we did, and we were able to get some great sponsors, went to the police. So that was kind of – it made the show a little more special for us. Mm-hmm.
You were a dean of a law school.
I was a dean, yes. Yeah. I was not the
dean. A dean
a
of
dean,
a law school.
Yeah, small yeah. A. So, yep, small D.
Yeah, I know. I gotcha. Was this I mean, you played music. How long – when did you start playing music?
I had my first band. It's a funny story. My first band, I was in seventh grade. I went to a grade school in the south side of Chicago, Our Lady of Peace, and we were playing for the eighth grade assembly, and we were just kind of troublemakers, a bunch of us, and to irritate the Dominican nuns, the name of the band was Pontius and the Nail Drivers.
Oh, man. Oh, man. How many rulers did you get smacked around with?
Quite a few.
Oh,
and then,
man.
You know, the problem is when you get smashed by the nun, you go home, and then your parents smash you, too, because it's twice as bad. But we got in trouble, and partly because of the name and partly because we played the song Gloria, and I think the nuns thought we were going to play Gloria in Excelsis Deo, and we played Glori. And we, you know, come up to my place around midnight. Yeah. They pulled the plug, and we got in trouble. And the girls liked us, and I thought, this is great. I can get in trouble and still have a following.
So, when you were at the law school, were you still doing music? Were you still playing music?
I was mm-hmm. not as overtly as I am now. But I did. I did a lot of work.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's great. Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more and we'll hear another song. This is Man Fighting Bear, and you can go to Elbow Room and see him tomorrow night, Friday. Show starts today. It's only $10 to get in. Manfightingbear.com is the website, and you can also just link up on our Facebook page. We have all the information there. All right, we'll take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and that is Man Fighting Bear. Eric and Chris and Bill are here live in studio. They have a gig tomorrow night, Friday the 13th at Elbow Room on Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. It's only $10 to get in. Let's talk real quickly about the writing process, the songwriting process. Who writes and how does that work? Is it collaborative?
All of us. Yeah.
It's a very collaborative process.
I mean,
somebody will come up with a melody, and usually that's Eric. And then he'll bring it to us, and we slowly interject our personalities into that melody, or Chris comes up with the melody, or I do. But it kind of goes through a phase where it's one-third done, two-thirds done, three-thirds mm-hmm. done. Then it's back to one-third done because we've killed two-thirds. And it just kind of evolves like that. But it's everybody has a say in it, which is mm-hmm. the way we should.
Now, what about the father-son dynamic within the band? How does that work out?
I'm in charge. I'm definitely in charge.
Okay, Chris is in charge.
Chris is in charge. Actually, Chris is, he's not in charge, but he helped a lot in terms of the production and the engineering. With this particular album, Waiting, was recorded here in Chicago at Def Dog Music. John Ovnik was the engineer and producer. And Chris worked with him pretty much every step of the way in getting the final product done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I have some standard questions that I always ask musicians, and I want to get to those because I want to have time for us to hear another full-length song from your CD.
Sure.
And Waiting is at the website. Can people hear your music, too, if you go to Man
yes.
Fighting Bear?
Yes, it's available on all the usual spots, Spotify, iTunes.
All that stuff.
And the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Man Fighting Bear, you can hear that. And you guys will be selling merch and CDs on Friday mm-hmm. night?
Yes. We will, yeah.
All right. Very, very cool. First, before we get to the standard questions that I always ask each musician, I always have to ask this, where did the band name come from?
Chris?
I thought it sounded funny. I kind of regret it now because it is so silly and we don't really have a good story. It was just a dumb name yeah. that I pulled out. I mean, we Eric and I were in another band before, and we couldn't think of a name. And I just thought it should be called We Should Be Spies.
Yeah, yeah.
That was our band for a little bit. And just the dumbest names. I don't know
Well,
why.
It's every time I ask a band, it's always a very it's never a really great story. It's always like, right. We got drunk. We couldn't think of anything else. We were tired of arguing about it, and we got this.
Right. Yeah.
That's inevitably what usually happens.
We probably saw a YouTube video of a bear fighting somebody.
And then went, there you go.
Shane's fighting a guy, and then about a name for the band.
But we do have people say, so it's really a name about overcoming the obstacles of society.
And we're let him think.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's exactly what we had in mind, is the symbolism.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned, Eric, a little bit earlier, first album. You said you remember the first album. I always ask musicians that. What was the first album you ever bought? And this is sort of like with your allowance or whatever.
Yep.
So first album.
Zare in Mount Prospect.
Yeah.
Van Halen.
One?
Van Halen Jump.
Oh, so 1984.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, next.
I am a white male with glasses, so my first album was Weezer's Blue Album.
There you go. Yeah. Of course it was.
Of course it was.
All right, now we're going to see a jump.
Yes.
Bill?
My first album was, the band's name was Aorta.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember some pretty famous people in that band. Some of the band members go on to do something else? Or am I nuts?
No, I'm not sure. I think they just kind of...
I have no idea why I remember that band. Tell me
with a heart attack, Main Vein.
Yeah.
Sprinkle Road to Cork Street.
Yeah.
They were around. I gravitated to Aorta and The Flock. Those were my two bands.
Okay.
When I was growing up.
Why was that?
The Flock, because it was the first time I'd ever heard rock with kind of a jazz. And it's some of the violin parts reminded me of my dad playing piano. So I really liked The Flock. Everyone else seemed to like American Breed, and I liked those guys too.
Yeah.
And Rotary Connection with Minnie Riperton and things.
Sure.
But it was Aorta and The Flock.
Okay. Dan, do you know what we
have? Aorta featured Peter Cetera, Marty Grabb, Cal David, and Denny Ebert.
See, I knew it was. Yeah. I knew it was Cetera. It was Cetera. Okay. I knew that was. Yeah. I knew that was what. I knew there was something. I remember the name having a band member that went on to ruin another band. all right. I think we're going to probably end up hanging a little bit after three, if that's okay
that's
with you
fine.
Guys. Cool. Because all right, my first album ever was Black Sabbath Paranoid, I bought it at the Record Roost on Lincoln Avenue. And I remember the guy behind the counter, he looked like a lunatic. He had a big, crazy beard and everything. And he was judging my father for allowing me to get the Black Sabbath because I was probably seven. So, all right. First concert.
First concert was Metallica, Injustice for All at Poplar Creek.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. Next.
First concert.
Weezer?
Yep. Yeah,
where
well,
was
with my own money? Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely Weezer.
Okay, where? What?
I think at that point,
the world,
probably the United Center.
United Center.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And
Led Zeppelin.
Where?
I think it was at the Aragon Ballroom.
Okay.
One of their first tours.
Yeah, but you've been to some pretty legendary venues.
Oh yes.
Tell me a little bit about some of the venues you've been to.
Saw Wishbone Ash, Peter Frampton, Camel. A Humble Pie,
yeah,
you know, back in the when I was young,
Kinetic Playground,
yeah, Aaron Russo's, Kinetic Playground.
God, man, if I had McFly's DeLorean, man, I'm telling you, I'm telling you that I was lucky. You know, my first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. I don't know if you guys remember Black Oak, Arkansas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They have a song called Jim Dandy to the Rescue.
Oh, Jim Dandy.
For some reason, I loved them when I was like 10, and so my parents took me. But the key to why this was such a memorable concert wasn't Black Oak, Arkansas, who I was 10, and I thought they were great, and they are not. But the opening act before their first album came out was Bad Company.
Mm. Oh,
and
wow.
My dad went nuts because he was a fan of the band Free. And when he saw Paul Rodgers walk out on stage, he was more excited than I was. He was jumping up and down like a lunatic. He's like, that's Paul Rodgers. And then they said, ladies and gentlemen, Bad Company. And they played the entire first album. And nobody knew what the album was. So that was one of those cases where the opening act was better than the headliner.
But you got to share that experience, though, with your
dad. Absolutely.
And that's why it's so...
Absolutely. It was funny because my parents were like, oh, we got to take the kid to see these idiot Black Oak, Arkansas morons. And I remember... You know, like beforehand, they were like, oh, God. And then the opening act comes out. It's Paul Rogers. My dad's like, this is great. And if I remember correctly, like during half of Black Oak Arkansas's set, my parents went out in the lobby and smoked.
Nice.
They were like, I don't know. Actually, they probably smoked right in the theater because then you could do that then in the 70s. It was the Auditorium Theater. Now, I'm not sure why a band like Black Oak Arkansas deserved the acoustics of the auditorium, but... But there you go. All right, you guys, hang on, okay?
Yes, sir. Sure.
We're going to take a break. We got the news. We're going to talk more with Man Fighting Beer and hear another full song from their album, Waiting, coming up right here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That is the music of Man Fighting Bear from their album Waiting, and that is in fact the title track, if I'm not mistaken. Yes,
that is.
Bill, Chris, and Eric from the band are here. They're playing at Elbow Room tomorrow night, Friday night. It's only $10 to get in. Check out manfightingbear.com for information, for music and all that stuff, and it's all linked up on our Facebook page. Bill, let's talk a little bit about your background. I understand that you are actually a survivor of prostate cancer.
Yes, I am.
And so how did that affect your music at all? Going through that?
Well, it affected.
I mean, affect your entire life, obviously.
Affected everything about it. I was diagnosed. My youngest daughter was her fourth birthday when I was diagnosed, and it just shakes you to the foundation.
Yeah.
And there was went to the University of Chicago. There's a great doctor, Ari Shalhav, who. You know, he removed my prostate, and he said, now you got to lose weight and get in shape because I'm not going to have you go through cancer and survive and die of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So he kind of got me on this whole mental course of trying to improve my lifestyle. But psychologically, you're still kind of thinking about cancer. And I was watching Shawshank Redemption once for about the millionth time.
It's my producer's favorite movie of all time.
And there's a line in there, either get busy living or you get busy dying. And that just snapped. It resonated with me. And I basically changed my whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get back into my first love, which was music. Mm-hmm. And it was not too long after that that the three of us got together for kind of what I called a living wake. We were moving to Virginia. And we invited all of our friends to a restaurant in Hyde Park, where we were living at the time. And we closed the restaurant. We had music for several hours. We raised a lot of money for different charitable organizations. But yeah, it was life changing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it helped a lot. And you know, it's kind of where we came. The name of the song "Waiting" was about a surgical procedure that my wife had, and I was in the waiting room for her. But really, the whole album called "Waiting" is because I have been waiting my whole life. I've been playing in band since I'm seventh grade. I'm in my 60s, and I've been waiting to be able to do this with my best friend, Eric, and my son, Chris. Mm. So that's how it
great
all
story.
Came about.
Yeah, that's a great story. Hey, speaking of raising awareness and money for prostate cancer, that explains my stupid mustache. Mm. I'm doing Movember.
It looks great. You have a great mustache.
No, thank you. Really thank you very much. And if people would like to give money, I would really appreciate it. I'm trying to raise $1,000, and I'm up to about $500. I'm halfway there. Got till the end of November. And what you did, are you guys aware of Movember?
Yes.
Yes.
You shave November 1st clean, and then you grow just a mustache. Mm-hmm. You take pictures of yourself on your Movember page. And then hopefully you raise money and awareness for men's health issues, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's mental health as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have the crazy mustache here. So, but I just that's a great story though. Well, really inspiring.
The band will make a contribution.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Because I can't grow a mustache because I look like Kip.
You're starting right.
Well, this is like a lazy kind of hanging out.
It's trained nostril hair.
But yeah, exactly. But if I grow a mustache, I look like was it Kip, the brother from Napoleon Dynamite? Just that kind of.
Oh, nerdy. Yeah. You got one of those.
That's
yeah.
what I'll look yeah. like, and that's not a good look for
anyway. Well, I appreciate that. And if people want to check out my my Movember page, it is mobro.co.com, mobro.co/WGN Nick D. And whatever little bit you can give helps. And you can see a day-by-day growth of my mustache if you're so enticed to do so. It's
there's
there.
Someone out there that's doing that.
It's there. So it's mobro.co, mobro.co/ WGN Nick D. So anyway, now you mentioned that you've been playing in bands since
seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of music did you you were playing? Like you said that you played like Glory and stuff like that, cover bands
stuff,
and things.
Yeah, right. It wasn't until I got into there's a blues band in Chicago called Studebaker John and the Hawks, and it's all original, mostly original stuff, and I was the keyboard player for those guys for a couple of years. But it's been pretty much fairly steady since seventh grade, high school, you know, garage bands. Put myself through college playing in different bands. Played at a lot of great clubs in Chicago. Blues on Halsted, Kingston Mines, Wise Fools Pub, Freddie Fudpuckers, which is no longer there. It used to be up on Sheridan Road.
Oh, yeah. I remember that place.
Yeah, it was right next to the – there was a movie theater up there.
The 400. Wasn't it the 400?
I don't remember the name of the theater. But, so I played a lot of fun clubs in Chicago.
Yeah. And the kind of music now that I would imagine that each of you has a different musical inspiration for what you really like. Mm-hmm. And you guys combine that stuff? Do you mm-hmm. where does Absolutely. The inspiration come from? Like Chris, for you?
Well, I was having a conversation with a friend recently about drumming, another drummer friend. We stick together because no one else likes to talk to us.
Absolutely right.
And how some of our favorite drummers aren't in our favorite bands. I love Neil Peart.
Yeah.
Love. But I'm not going to go home after, like, a day of work and be like, oh, I just want to have a cold beer and put on Rush and relax.
Listen to 2112 for 18 minutes.
Right, yeah. Just going to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, influences that my dad, you know, gave me CDs and records growing up. You know, when he mentioned earlier, he took me to Deep Purple, see Ian Paice drum. I mean, that was just something amazing to see this guy. And he's, you know, pushing 70-something.
Gotta
you know,
be close to that. Yeah.
Two giant fans behind him. No breath, just playing as hard as
had,
he could.
When you took him to see Purple, had John Lord passed already?
No, he was still. He was not with the band.
Oh, he wasn't? Oh, I see. Okay.
He had not passed away.
Okay. Because you want to talk about keyboards.
Oh, what?
There's a reason.
Do you have enough time for him
there's
to
a reason
talk about
his,
John Lord?
His last name was Lord.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, no, I mean, there's John Lord, Jimmy Smith, and my old man were my big influences.
Oh, yeah.
Those three.
In terms of, like, hard rock keyboards, I don't think there was a better – there was never a better guy playing keyboards in a hard rock band than Lord. Mm-mm. Never.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Just amazing stuff. That's cool that you got to see them.
Yeah, that was pretty special. And it was at the Chicago Theater.
Oh, man.
And now I'm at that age where all the bands that I like are getting bigger and they're all playing Chicago Theater. But I'm also at that age where I'm enjoying sitting down at a show.
I know. No, trust me. I know.
So,
I know exactly like, how you,
you
feel.
Know, so like, oh, Death Cab's here. I'll see them a few times, and I'll get to sit down for a little bit. You know,
it's, you know, every year in the summer when you know inevitably we have to talk about Lollapalooza, I'm just like, I'm too old.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I can't imagine being out in 90 degree weather with a bunch of sweaty drunks standing in a bunch of mud.
Yep, right.
Even if it's a band that I really love, and there are a lot of great bands that played Lollapalooza, but I just can't. And it seems like some of the bands that I really like, many of the bands that I love. And not only we were talking earlier about how buying and listening to music has changed, but also concerts have changed too. It's, everything's a festival now. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's like if you you have to see like eight bands in order to see maybe the one band that you really like. And if you're lucky, if they're playing a couple of days, maybe they'll play a smaller venue on their own, and that's always cool. But there's no guarantee of that.
No, and you know I don't want to rat on festivals, and everyone's probably said the same thing about Lollapalooza a billion times, but. It's just, it's not exactly the type of people you want to be surrounded with listening to your favorite songs.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone's putting their phones up and.
I know. Like, I know. Did you guys, have you guys seen this this meme that they put up on the internet where if the Titanic sunk in 2015? Have you guys seen this?
Yes, I know.
And it's the Titanic sinking, and all the people in the water are filming it with their cameras.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's about what would happen. Yeah. Is it, they're all going to drown and die and freeze to death, but damn, we got to film this. Yeah. We got to get this on our camera. So, yeah. Now, I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but, you know, There you go. Well, that's cool. So the influences sort of seep into the music with all three of you guys, and that's why it's such a good collaboration. Now, you said you guys are best friends. Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
Wow. Working at the law school.
I hired him to work in our department. He was with the law school, and I hired him to work in the development office.
Mm-hmm. And now, what's your background musically? When did you start playing?
Well, I started playing piano. I guess it was six or 7 years old. Moved to trumpet. From trumpet, I got a skateboard. So, you know, music went to the wayside for a moment.
Well, you know, then, and skateboard and trumpet, that doesn't really...
It didn't
at the
work
same
out.
Time.
That was
amazing.
Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Doc Severinsen on a skateboard.
Part of the show tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, it is? Yeah, you on a skateboard playing a trumpet?
Yeah.
I'm there.
So
you could take my place.
Yeah.
my uncle Dwight, who played the same circuit that Bill did when he was in his college days, introduced me to the bass. And I guess I was about 13 at the time.
Mm.
And it rocked my world. It just totally changed everything. Something that you feel, and you get that groove and the pulse, and still you're kind of the bridge in the band.
Yeah.
You know, you're the bridge between everything rhythm and everything melodic. Mm. And I thought that was so cool because I like those, you know, both sides of that world.
Now, so, Chris, did you start playing drums? Was that your first instrument?
No, my first instrument was guitar for about a year. And then I quickly realized I'm not George Harrison, but I can try and be Ringo.
Yeah.
And so I was in fifth grade, and before you go to junior high in Indiana, that's where I grew up, you have to like go around this room and figure out which instrument you're going to play in band class.
And I was that right?
Yeah. You go around and the teachers are there and like, oh, hi, would you like to see what the oboe's like? And I'm like, no.
The poor oboe. I always feel bad for the oboe.
I love a good oboe.
just not when you're not when you're that
it's
age.
It's just not cool. So I went over to the instructor, who was later my instructor in high school, and went over to the practice pad, and he's like, all right, well, let's see if you can do this. And, you know, just said left, right, left, and then did paradiddles, and I did it. And he was like, yeah, okay, you're good. Let's do this. And that was it. And then...
Was it one of those situations where everybody picks an instrument and then somebody's stuck with an instrument? Like...
Yeah, you're kind of stuck. Like, if you know...
Like, did someone, like, who didn't get to pick in time end up with the oboe? Like, here, you were late here, oboe.
Yeah, we had one oboe kid who didn't want to play the oboe.
Yeah.
But I think he quit band that week. But no, I mean, being a drummer was great in school because you sit in the back, you don't do anything, and you get to be really loud.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
No, I have to ask you guys this. I was talking about this when you guys were in the green room before the top. Have any of you guys seen Whiplash?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
all of us.
We actually watched it together.
Man,
we tried to have dinner during the movie, and we said, you know what, we can't do both.
No,
let's just eat later.
Then we paused it three times because we had tension headaches.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of my favorite movies last year. It was my second favorite movie last year, and. You know, I'm lucky enough where I've been reviewing movies here at the station for a really long time, and I'm a member of the Chicago Film Critics Association, so I get screeners of movies that are still in theaters or, you know, for the Oscar considered. Like here, for instance, I just got Minions sent to me.
Okay.
There you go.
Fine. But I had Whiplash, the movie, not because of a car accident. and I ended up watching it 22 times.
Wow.
I watched it 22 times, it's an incredible movie.
Absolutely,
absolutely incredible. Okay, we have to break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll hear a full song from you guys.
Thank you.
It's Man Fighting Bear, and they'll be here right after we take a break. All right, we're back, and it's. Man Fighting Bear is the name of the band, and I've got the three members live here in studio, and we've been listening to some music from the album Waiting, and they will be playing that and more tomorrow night, Friday the 13th at Elbow Room on Lincoln Avenue. 21 and over show, and it begins at 8, and the cost is $10. Welcome back, you guys. It's been so much fun having you on the show here. And so let's talk about the next song that we're going to hear. We're going to hear a song called Good Morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. It's not a Beatles cover.
It is not a Beatles cover. Okay. No, as much as I wanted to. Actually, no. I have a no Beatles cover policy in every band that I've been in. It's just like, why would you want to cover
I understand.
Beatles?
Some bands have done it. Cheap Trick did a really nice job with Magical Mystery Tour. And
yeah.
With
Styx is doing I Am the Walrus.
They have done I Am the Walrus? Okay. And they actually Cheap Trick toured and did all of Pepper.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
With an orchestra and everything, and it was great. Yeah.
Okay, well, that but the cheap
well, it's Cheap
do
Trick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cheap. Right. For God's sake,
my
it's Cheap
high school
trick.
Band couldn't do
no,
that.
No, yeah, right. I got you. I understand.
Because right, didn't have an oboe player.
That's what it is. You got rid of the damn oboe player. You can't play Pepper without an oboe.
It was Rick Nielsen on oboe. Does that count?
Yeah, and he had 85. Reefs. And they were taped to his mic stand.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell us about, seriously though, tell us about Good Morning from the album Waiting.
Good Morning is a song that features background vocals from Ava Cherry, who sang with Luther Vandross and David Bowie for many years.
Good Lord.
You can put on a lot of Luther stuff, a lot of his live records, and she's singing on that.
Very cool.
She sings on Young Americans with Bowie.
She actually won an Academy Award in the movie 20 Feet from Stardust.
Oh, she did?
She was in that. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I know who she is.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is.
Boy, what a great movie that was.
Yeah. So we met her through our producer, John Ovnik, who'd worked with her for years. And she started singing with Eric. Mm-hmm. So they kind of began a little partnership. Their voices blend really well together. And Eric's been working with her for a while.
Yes, I've actually taken some lessons with her. Which has been great. I mean, she's just a very cool, very laid back, so knowledgeable about the industry and just their stories.
I bet. I bet.
So,
all right. So this is Good Morning. It features her and it's on the album Waiting. And once again, this is Man Fighting Bear on WGN.
Return on
nice stuff, you guys.
Thank you.
Really, really great stuff. Real pleasure having you guys in. Thank you so much for coming in. Have a great gig tomorrow night at the Elbow Room. Everybody, come out and see him. Manfightingbear.com. We have a link on our Facebook page. You guys come back anytime, okay?
Thank you very much.